Welcome to this week's podcast of Kicking It with Kidneys with your host, Cindy Barclay. Hey, Cindy, take it away.
Hi, I'm Cindy Barclay, your host, CEO, and founder of Quality Dialysis, located in Houston, Texas. Welcome to KIWK, a forum to discuss important topics for historically suppressed voices within communities of color.
And hi, I'm BJ. I have 20 years of experience in social research, and I truly believe that lives can be changed through education and advocacy.
Hey guys, I'm Rita Williams. I'm a licensed master social worker with over 15 years of experience. My passion is working with people live their best lives.
And I'm Maria, a passionate registered nurse with 10 years of experience in the kidney game. What are we talking about today, y'all?
I've got a touch of kidney disease is the topic of today's discussion. What would be your initial reaction if a physician told you that you've got something that nobody can cure? Okay, so BJ, what is the word on the street?
Well, Cindy, today, our word on the street, we're going to hear from people who have received a diagnosis of chronic illness. And we're also going to hear from some health professionals on what can be a dangerous reaction. So let's listen.
When I found out that I had high blood pressure, I was devastated. In fact, I began to wonder, well, what have I been doing that hasn't worked?
And so I just thought to myself, like, the doctor is going to tell me to go home, drink some water, like, you'll be fine, take more care of yourself. I was told that I had type 2 diabetes. And honestly, getting that diagnosis and getting that information was jarring for me because I didn't know what that meant.
A lot of times when you hear that diagnosis, there's this sense of distress and kind of turmoil within. People often feel guilty, wondering what they should have done or could have done differently, blame themselves. They may blame other people. Many patients that I've had kind of express a sense of doom that their life is over. It's never going to be good again.
One of the most dangerous things that people do, be it cancer, heart disease, anything, is to live in denial that you have any symptoms or that you really have to deal with it. And I literally sat at a lunch one time watching a man eat a pastrami and cheese sandwich and proudly say, well, he takes Lipitor, so it's fine.
Denial is when you are rejecting your current reality. You don't believe you're sick. Maybe you don't believe you'll be sick forever. Maybe you don't believe your child is sick. You don't need to change your lifestyle, and the doctors are just wrong.
I always say people are accustomed to getting sick, going on an antibiotic for 7 days, and it's over. Life is not about the antibiotic of seven days. That when you have heart disease or diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, these are metabolic issues that are part of your makeup. And in dealing with that, it is the lifestyle choices. It is the diet and exercise. But if you need a medication, it's because you are helping your metabolism and your system deal with these issues. And those don't go away after 7 days. Those are something that you need to constantly manage and follow up and be on top of.
Here's what I suggest. Work on making small lifestyle adjustments that make your life better and that make your life full and complete and the life that you want to be living on your terms.
Wow. Denial. You guys know that, you know, denial is so prevalent in today's society that you may not even be aware that you're experiencing it. There are approximately 37 million people diagnosed with chronic kidney disease. Okay.
That's a lot of folks.
Yeah. And by definition, denial is just another defense mechanism whereby a person is unwilling to accept the truth about a problem. Now, you guys know that pretending that you have a chronic illness and ignoring that it's going to go away, that dreadful news is not going anywhere. We need to treat the problem.
And, you know, Cindy, I have some interesting numbers, too, about chronic illness. According to the CDC, 6 out of 10 adults in America have at least one chronic illness. And then 4 out of 10 have even more, 2 or more chronic. And that really contributes to the $4.1 trillion.
Hold it. Did you say trillion?
Did you say trillion?
She said trillion.
With the T.
Trillion with the T of healthcare costs in this country.
That's about 6 to 8% of the GDP. Are you serious? Did you say?
I said it. No, I didn't say it. The CDC said it.
Right.
CDC, 4.1 trillion. How many zeros in a trillion? Do y'all know?
A lot.
Okay. All right.
You hear those numbers. You hear those numbers. It's just staggering. But one of the things that we also heard in the Word on the Street segment is that when people receive a chronic illness diagnosis, it really does affect more than just their physical well-being. It really can cause them to have a lot of strong emotions. And the most common emotions are listed in the 7 stages of grief or chronic illness. And some people, so those are like denial. People will bargain. They'll get angry. They have anxiety. They have a sense of a lost self and confusion, want to reevaluate. They have to go through a period of reevaluating. What does this mean in my life? And then finally, there's acceptance. So when we said grief, we see the stages of grief. And I know there might be some people out there that are saying, well, why are we using the word grief? We're not talking about dying. But chronic illness can be a point where they do have to shift their identity. They may not be able to do the same things or eat the same things, or some people might not even be able to work the same jobs that they might have had before. What I want people to know is that when we're talking about these stages, they don't always go in that order that
right,
we just showed
right,
you.
Right,
and,
right,
you
right.
can go in and out, of stages. You can go from denial and then go to anger and vice versa. So it's always a constant flow, for people, because we're all individuals and we're not all going to do things the way everyone else does it.
And people don't always go through all 7 of them. I mean, some people don't go through denial.
But most people get stuck in denial, because when you're in that doctor's office for the first time, you know what I mean? And he's telling you that, the thing of it is not to get stuck there. So you're
that is the thing, because when people get stuck and you're dealing with healthcare issues, that is when you have problems, because they don't get the treatment they deserve or seek
that they need.
And oftentimes that will cause the problem to get worse, and it could cost them their lives.
Right.
I will tell you guys my story. In my early 40s, I got diagnosed with hypertension or high blood pressure. And I did experience denial. I didn't believe the doctor. I said that, they're just trying to push pills. That's what they do. I'm not really sick. I didn't want to be a statistic, because we hear about African Americans and other communities of color having high rates of hypertension and diabetes and heart trouble. I didn't want to be a part of that group. And then finally,
even though you are a part of that group.
Well, I didn't want to be a part of the sick. I didn't want to be that statistic.
Part of the sick group. Okay.
I didn't want to be the statistic.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
Right. Okay.
And the other thing is, I kept telling myself what I'm sure you guys experienced. I can cure myself. If I eat better, if I exercise, if I take some supplements, I'll be fine. The problem is, I never did. I would get the medicine.
Right.
Medicine. Cindy, guys, I'd get the medicine and wouldn't take it.
Yeah.
So a lot of people do that because they can, fix themselves. But sometimes we have to acknowledge we need a little help.
What, are you still on your blood pressure medicine, BJ? Are you still taking your medication?
Since we started doing KIWK, I don't miss a day. Well, even before then, but now I really don't miss.
So you've accepted.
I am in full acceptance.
Because you want to live, right?
Right.
And you want to be there for your loved ones, your family and your friends and the friends on KIWK, right? You want to live.
I do want to live.
Okay.
I want to live.
Not just live, but live well and, be able to, we can all just live. We want to live well and healthy. Okay. And
denial comes in different forms. We deal in our renal community with dialysis and renal patients in the different stages, but isn't non-compliance a major component of denial?
It takes a lot for a patient to accept. It's a process. And like BJ was saying, is it grief? It is grief, because it is some kind of loss. When we talked about they lose their independence, maybe they may not be able to work. They may have to depend on someone else, and they may have to take those medications. So it is a loss. So they
But think about it, non-compliance. Okay, so I know that I'm getting a procedure done at a certain time. I need to be ready for that procedure. The doctor's given me specific instructions on what to do. I do not acknowledge those instructions. I do not do what I'm supposed to. Now, that's what got me here to begin with. Okay.
I guess you could call it non-compliance or you could call it a process.
Okay. And then I'm still drinking all of this water. Right. I know my kidneys are shot. They're gone. Right. So where's that? If I drink all this fluid, where is it going to go other than my lungs? Okay.
Right.
So I'm adding insult to injury.
But, and that's the where we work with our patients, especially when they first come in, because some of them do come in with, you know, Rita, I'm only going to be here a couple of months. That's what doctor said. And, you know, I believe that my body's going to be able to heal itself. Well, we know when you come in to dialysis at the last stage, I don't know if your body's going to be able to heal itself. So yeah, they start with a denial and it can take up to 6 months. Anybody with a chronic disease, it can take up to 6 months for them to even really acknowledge that this is their reality for right now. So yeah, it is a process and it is not confronting the patient, but really just spending that time and talking to them. A lot of times patients need to process. And that just means sometimes as a social worker or as a family member or as a loved one, we need to sit and let them speak because they're processing. And sometimes it's not just the patient that needs to process and accept. It's the family as well, because if they're not being supportive, you know, mom saying, well, yeah, Jimmy doesn't have kidney disease. You know, like BJ said, they're just saying that he needs dialysis, but, you know, he is not that sick. He's going to get better. But it's a family. The whole family needs to work together on this. So it does take time. And like we talked about, we can go through the stages of grief. You know, it's like a weaving thing. You know, you may go from, you know, denial to acceptance to bargaining on and off the whole time. And it can take longer than 6 months. It takes as long as it takes.
Well, I met people that they're a year into this procedure and we know that they're stage five. We know that they're going to have to have this until they die or get a kidney, which is another treatment.
Right.
And they're still saying a year later that I'm going to get healed and they're not believing that this actually happened. So how do you jar their memory? How do you wake them up? Now they're going to the doctor. The doctor's telling them the same thing over and over. Okay. They see that their bodies are just deteriorating in front of them.
Sometimes we use that mirror. We have to use that mirror where they have to see and they can see the physical changes. I have my partner in crime, our nutritionist, says that the blood work doesn't lie. It's like a lie detector test. So, and it is true. Every month they see those numbers. Maybe their potassium is high. You know, other things are high and they're like, you know, they see the pattern because it's not getting any better. So they can't deny hard evidence. But we still work with them and talk to them and continue to work with them and say, hey, are you eating better? Are you, you know, exercising? Are you taking your meds? Are you actually doing what the doctor has recommended or your staff has recommended? And sometimes we find out that they're not taking their meds. They're not taking their binders. They're not even going to the doctor sometimes, or they cut their dialysis short. And I know Maria gets on them as soon as they, you know, say, I need to cut it 30 minutes. Do we not educate our patients about that right away, what the effects are?
You do better than my doctor. After a while, she would say, well, what are we going to do about it? And then she just started just shaking her. She'd look at me and just shake her head.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's a lost cause. I think it just, you know, until they make that realization and connect the dots, I can want it very bad for my patients, but I can't make it happen for them.
So are you saying that outside of being a psychiatrist, there's not a whole lot that we in the medical profession can do?
No.
Because, I mean, if you're stuck in that stage, and how do I move myself?
We motivate them. We try to help them, you know, push them a little bit, but it's really the individual. I mean, we've had patients that have died because they never changed anything. I mean, and we educate them and provide information to them till we're blue in the face. The doctors, like BJ says, sometimes they're saying, So what are you going to do? Because it's really on them.
Tell me which one you think is the most dangerous here. I've got some notes here that says, it talks about denial. Okay. It's basically saying that there are three types. Simple denial is right. when you deny something unpleasant is happening.
Right.
So that would be just getting that news from the doctor's office, right?
Right.
Okay. And minimization denial is you acknowledge unpleasant facts, but deny the seriousness of the issue.
Right.
I think that's where most people live. What do you guys think?
What's the third one? Remind me of the third one.
Okay. It says you acknowledge the seriousness and reality of the issue, but blame the problem on someone or something else.
I think a lot of people, for me, my personal opinion and my experience, I think they stay sometimes between two and three.
Yeah. Yeah,
a lot yeah. two, and then maybe peek over to three because they've got to blame somebody, you
yeah,
know,
yeah, yeah,
not
yeah.
saying, hey, Rita, you didn't take care of yourself. You know, you didn't exercise. You didn't yeah. take your high blood pressure like you should have been. Why would I want to blame myself if I can blame Maria?
But I think accountability is the key here. What do you
Definitely.
Think?
They have to
I
be
think
accountable.
Once you are accountable for what you didn't do, you can try right. to say, then you can be accountable going forward with what you must do.
And that is something, you know, as adults, it is hard to be accountable for yourself. You know, it is hard. I mean, it's hard to accept that I did this to myself.
To myself, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nobody
yeah.
wants to say, yeah. I did this to myself and I continue to do this to myself.
And some of the chronic illnesses, like cancer, I mean,
right.
you didn't do that to yourself, you know?
Yeah.
But then they're finding that a lot of cancers, things that we can do to minimize the risk of getting those things, of getting cancers, you know?
Right.
So agree. So
I agree.
Yeah. So Maria, what do some of your patients say? I mean, when they come in, when they're newly diagnosed, how do they perceive it? Do they hold out a lot of hope or do you think they're still in denial?
Well, each patient is different. You know, each situation is different on why I may see a patient. I may see a patient transferring from a center because of non-compliance.
Mm-hmm,
that'll be
mm-hmm.
the worst. They're already established, but they just have issues getting to and from their dialysis.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
what we do is home dialysis. So I see that situation. I see patients that are in acute renal failure,
mm-hmm,
meaning
mm-hmm.
that dialysis is a temporary basis. We monitor their labs more frequent than
mm-hmm.
those patients that are established dialysis patients. There are hope for these patients because it depends on why their kidneys might have failed.
That's like, are you saying difference between acute and chronic renal failure, yeah, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
So with acute renal failure, like I said, you're monitoring labs. There's not quite as much damage, or it could be reversible damage, but you need to still do dialysis to sustain life for a temporary time period. So we get all kinds of patients. And I always make sure that I talk to my patients as if they've never seen this machine before, because I'm not sure where your groundwork, you know, is or where it came from, because a lot of patients don't have as much education as you would think that healthcare providers would give to them. So I always make sure that I do my due diligence in starting from ground zero and educating them on things that they can do, whether they're in acute renal failure or chronic renal failure.
Most physicians feel that kidney failure is a chronic illness that can be prevented. They don't all agree on it, but it has to do with obesity. It has to do with hypertension. It has to do with diabetes, you know, and obesity, you know, overeating. There are a lot of factors here. And African-Americans traditionally have a lot of stress, appear to have a lot more stress than a lot of other nationalities. They do feel like this can be avoided. Now, sometimes people say that things can be avoided simply because of the color that you are, you know, did I say something wrong, BJ? You're smiling. Okay.
I mean, no, I'm listening. Say, I'm know, listening.
Yeah. Because sometimes, you know, they'll say that all blacks have this, all whites have this, but the way that things are going in today's society, I don't know if, you know, they see it more happen more oftentimes in minorities, but what are the true reasons? Are the reasons only high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity, and all these other factors? You know, so that's something to think about. So Maria, if my kidneys could talk, they want to stay healthy. If they could talk, what would they say to me?
They would say, hello, first of all, I'm here. I'm here. And there are two of us. Most people don't realize we've got two kidneys. They're located on the back side of the body, right up under the rib cage. You've got two of those right there in our picture, showing a great depiction of that. They look like beans, and they're the size of your fist. They're there. They're helping with filtering your blood every day. They help with urine output every day. So speaking of the urine output, most people don't realize how much you should be urinating on a daily basis. Normal urine output is 1 to 2 liters or 4 to 8 cups. When you have kidney failure, you tend to see that decrease to where you've got oliguria, which is 1 liter or less. And then you've got anuria, which you're basically not urinating that much, 30 milliliters to 1 ounce. When you're in those two less than normal urine outputs, you're probably in a stage of chronic kidney disease. And for the stages of chronic kidney disease, you have 5 stages. So normal stage is when you don't have any issues, basically, with your kidneys. That's CKD1. Your GFR, which is your glomerular filtration rate. Remember, your kidneys are filters. So that's a glomerular filtration rate. Stage 1 is anywhere between 90 and 120. You're doing great. That's the green light.
Let me ask you something. Oh, okay, so it looks like it's color-coded. Okay, so do the colors.
That's green
light.
Like green light means go. You good.
Okay.
Now, when you're getting into the yellow, you've got stages 2, 3, and 4. Those are your warning signs. Like at the light, you're about to turn red. You know, most people try to get through the yellow light, right?
Yeah.
It's coming up. But stage 2 is 60 to 90. Stage 3, the GFR, 60 to 90. Stage 3 is 30 to 60. And stage 4 is 15 to 30. Now, red means stop. Red means there's an issue. Red means fire, alert. There's a huge problem.
And that kidney look like it's burned up.
Shriveled up.
You see it? It's all messed. Oh, my goodness. That kidney, it's been damaged. It's been
That's
damaged.
Okay. And that is when you see someone like me. A lot of people ask me, what kind of nurse are you? I said, I'm a dialysis nurse. You don't want to see me at all. So that's when I see my patients is chronic kidney disease, CKD stage 5, where your GFR, glomerular filtration rate, is less than 15. That means you need some help to support your life. You're not able to filter your blood adequately on your own. You're not putting enough urine output. So you need dialysis to assist in both of those.
Wait a minute. So are you saying on a scale of 100, that if I had 100% of my kidney, that by the time I get to 15, it's only 15% of that 100% that's working?
That is correct.
Yeah, I need some help. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess some of the takeaways that we need to try to get over to our audience is, what do we do about this? I mean, what can we do so that we won't have this, you know, get to that stage?
Well, we can start by asking or giving our audience information on how we support those people in denial.
Okay.
You know, what are some of the resources that we have, Rita?
Well, like you say, your social worker at the dialysis unit, you can talk to her. And if, say, you talk to me and I'm like, you know, I've talked to Mr. Jones 5 or 6 times, it's past me. You know, I may call in a family meeting. Maybe I need support from their family to assist. You know, maybe I need to call Mrs. Jones in and say, hey, Mrs. Jones, Mr. Jones seems to not be getting it. Is there something else going on, or is there something else he's told you? And sometimes they need to go see another professional. They may need to go see a psychiatrist.
I think one of the things people can do, I mean, if you don't want to understand what your doctor
right.
told you, or you doubt what your doctor told you,
right.
then you can do your own research. You know,
right.
don't just say, that doctor says I have some, and just forget it. Go and get more research, or talk to someone. If you've got
or
a
second opinion, you're right.
Get a
you're
second
right.
opinion.
They can get a second
you know,
opinion also.
Advocate for yourself.
Right.
Now, when
Definitely.
Second and third opinions are
yeah.
saying the same thing, folks,
it's,
we let's
know.
Wake up and try to live.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
That is true. But
then
like you said,
we need to fast forward to accept it.
Well, you know, we can't push everybody to acceptance. We would love to do that. But we know everybody's an individual. So like we say, everybody, we work with everybody.
That's the problem that got them there to begin with.
I know,
look, they're in denial. They're not accepting.
But you know, behaviors are hard to change. It's not going to change overnight. Those patterns are deep.
So there's a population of individuals that we may never reach.
There may be. I mean, I've had patients die because they refuse to stop drinking water or any other
alcohol.
I mean, it's like a diabetic. You know they're not supposed to be drinking alcohol, but they continue to drink alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, some people are not going to be able to be reached. We're not going to be able to help everybody. We'll try to help everybody we can or that wants to be helped.
Yeah. So maybe there's something inside that's telling them that they don't really want the help. Is that,
Cindy? I think people, when they are vulnerable, and I think when you get a diagnosis and you're shocked and you don't know, you're vulnerable. So you're much more likely to want to listen to people who tell you the things you want to hear. And you're more likely to want to believe in those myths, you know, that drinking cranberry juice is going to make your kidneys better, you know. And people go through that. I agree with Rita. They go through a phase where they have to at least explore these things. And then they realize, as what you guys have been saying, you're not getting better. You can't deny. You can deny that you have a disease, but you can't deny the consequences of having that disease.
Right. So when we evaluate patients, how do we? I think we're the first line of defense for a lot of these patients in the renal community. Now, I don't know about the other chronic illnesses, but I hopefully they would have their own contacting people as well. But when we first meet patients, we're the first line of contact to evaluate, basically. When you're talking to them, you know whether or not they're in denial. You know whether or not so I would recommend, what would you guys recommend? Your nurse, your doctor, are there advocacy groups? I mean, National Kidney Foundation has a lot of resources.
Right, the National Kidney Foundation definitely has a lot of information on there. And that's one of the websites we give out to our patients. Yeah, because it has diet plans on there. It has recipes on there.
Yes,
it kind of acclimates them to kidney disease, the kidney world. So there is a lot of resources on the Kidney Foundation. American Kidney Fund has them as well. So they can go out for some of those resources as well. And like you say, if not, we are available to our patients for that.
Best resources, people, that you have right in front of
you. That's right.
Okay.
With good information.
With good information. Okay, so we're about to wrap this up. Anybody with any last thoughts about denial and how to get through it? Some people can't even get up in the morning because they don't want to face the day. So any recommendations from any of you
guys? I just want to say I encourage our viewers to still follow up with their PCPs and their specialists that they do see for any early signs of chronic illness, whether that's heart disease, you know, kidney disease, cancer, whatever it is. You know, when you see your doctors, even when you get second and third opinions, the more active that you are, the better your outcomes are. So take heed when you have those early warning signs to try to live a little bit longer, as much as you can. Just stay on top of it and reach out to your healthcare team as well.
And one of the things that I talk to my patients as well about is, you know, making these changes in your life is going to make you a better person. And you may discover that you are totally different from the person you were before. You know, you live this different lifestyle, but it's a better version of you.
But that non-compliance required changes that you're going to have to make after you've been diagnosed. So it was that same denial. If you persist in that, then you're headed down the wrong path.
Right.
I think you're headed, you know, we need to be talking to you about end of life situations.
Right. And sometimes we have to do that too, Cindy. So.
Okay. Yeah, that is correct. Okay. Well, we've come to the end of our show today. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. Let's see. What are we going to be talking about next week?
Okay. Surprises.
Well, no, it's not a surprise because I got on the scale this morning. And according to Webster, I'm obese.
Wow.
So I want to know, is fat the new sexy? Okay. That's the topic of our show. Next week's show is fat the new sexy? Okay. kind of want to know about that because I've already been, they told me, according to the dictionary, I'm obese. I'm 20 pounds above the weight. So I need to know, how do I tie that into my health? Okay. Does it matter? Okay. Does it even matter? All right. So thank you guys for joining us this week. And we'll see you on our next episode. Have a great day.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you for listening to Kicking It with Kidneys with your host, Cindy Barclay. See you next week. The views expressed on this podcast are educational and opinion-based. These are not medical doctors.
Be sure to catch us on social media on our website, kickingitwithkidneys.com, also on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.